You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2019 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the fifth class in a series given by Brother Doug Davis on the subject, Exploring the Millennial Period. This class is titled, The End of the Millennial Period.
Again, good final morning. Been a wonderful week, and again, thank you again for the inspiring conversations and the hugs and the discussions and the spirit of the school has been wonderful, and I want to thank the organizers for all the effort. It's a big effort, and for providing the ability and the safe haven to be able to come together, to be able to discuss these things and to inspire one another to, again, take a look at where we're at, and also how we want to take the next so many days, weeks, months, years, and change our lives to strengthen our faith and to help one another strengthen their faith. We're going to look at today, we're going to finish up from yesterday, and actually it's kind of nice to be able to do that because it's that inspiration from yesterday's class that I want to carry into today, which is, how will we be as immortals in the kingdom? And what will those attributes look like? And then we'll look at the final conflict and then the second judgment, and then God will be all in all. And so the immortal qualities, again, we touched on some of them. You saw the things that were going to be going on in the millennial period. But what as I said yesterday, we're looking at, I'm immortal, trying to think on immortal things, and it's a very difficult issue, but God, again, and that's what has inspired this series of classes for me, is given us those hints and glimpses and verses in the Bible to be able to help us kind of get an idea of what will it be like to be an immortal. So some of the attributes, and so I'm drawing off things that the angels have been doing in the past and presently, and when we look at some of these things, independent thinking. And if you look at 1 Kings 22:23, it's a beautiful interaction that God has with the angels regarding Ahab. He says, who will go down and put a lying spirit into the prophets of Ahab? And the angels all talking about, and you can almost imagine them around God at that point saying, I've got an idea. How's this? And another, how about, would this, are you okay with that? And if you look at it, one comes and says, I will do this. And he says, how will you handle it? And he goes through the process. He says, that's good. Go ahead and do that. The interesting thing on this that I find is that it's not this kind of blatant, you will do it my way, and everybody's under the thumb. It's not. There's an interaction. There's a collaborative way about with the angels and God. No more different than it will be with us. And so you have this idea that God says, by the way, this is the end result I'm looking for. Go and do it. It's no different than us in business. We tell our people, guys, this is the goal. How do you propose to go and get it and deal with it and achieve it? And that interaction takes place, and we're going to be interacting like that. And so it's not this kind of, okay, I'm an automaton or a robot, and I'm just going to do what I've been told to do. It's an interactive situation, but we always know what the end result is going to be that God and Christ want. Teleportation. The ability to just go. And again, this is, I shared with you at the very beginning when we first came into Christadelphia from Catholicism, it was never discussed. What will the kingdom be like? Never in that. And so for me, this is actually the grab that got me. And I said, are you kidding? This is so fantastical. And then when you start to see these things and you read the account of Philip and the eunuch, and he says all of a sudden, Philip was taken up and he appears in Azotus, which is 50 kilometers away. How does that happen? You know, so this capability of saying, if I want to go here or go there, I have the ability to do that. How does that work? This is the power of Christ, that the kingdom will be like and what we will be like in it, and the ability to be able to go back and forth and travel. And again, these are just dimly viewed ideas on really what the fantastic aspect will be like in the kingdom when we're there. Visible and invisible, as we saw in earlier slides in the week, the ability for angels to be invisible or appear. We've seen time and time again those particular accounts, so that we can either be present or not in a visible sense. And when you think about that in the kingdom or the millennial period, how we will interact with one another or with the mortals in the kingdom, what will that kind of interaction take place when we are in amongst them? And all of a sudden, the ability to appear at a time required. So we teleport and then all of a sudden are visible to them and be able to discuss and work and heal and teach. We won't be marrying, because again, that is a Genesis scenario. The requirement to be able to progenerate, again, is no longer required. So at this point, because our Creator has made us complete to assist with creations. And this one, you think about the angels in the beginning of time assisting God, you know, come, let us make them in our image. And in Job, they're singing for joy, and we understand that there's a scenario when a person is baptized into Christ, there's this rejoicing that's taking place amongst the angels. In this particular case, we look at the earth the way it is and the destructive things that man has done upon it. Will it be our job to assist the mortals in recreating that, bringing it back to that pristine state? And again, as I said yesterday, is it going to be like that, or is it going to be teaching these spiritual lessons to the healing process of the earth, the healing process of the mortals coming into the millennial period? Mortal. We're immortal. And again, we just kind of take that for granted, but again, no more death with respect to the immortals. We will be alive forever and ever and ever. Again, we can kind of breeze over that, but to give that thought, that what is that eternity? And again, I go back to that Ecclesiastes 3. He's put eternity into man's mind, yet he cannot understand it. These are just these glimpses, and you say, can you imagine when our eyes are actually opened in the millennial period, what that will be like to be able to take that concept into and be able to truly absorb it and understand what it will be like to be eternal? And they care about mankind. In Daniel, you see that the angels working, trying to keep God's plan in place and working his plan, and they're going back and forth, and the idea is that they care. They're executing, because they want to rejoice at those accepting Christ. But we will not be omnipresent, omnipotent, or omniscient, like all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at all places. That's Christ, that's God. For us, we will have our limitations in that respect, I think. And just Daniel 9, too, the ability to fly, you know, it took us how many hours? First of all, I prefer just a transport. But how many hours does it take us to fly now? The ability to just to be able to say, I get there. I can fly there. I can go. Because you see angels flying back and forth in both Revelation and in Daniel. And again, is that, what does that look like? What will that be like? We've had dreams. How many of us have had dreams of what it's like to fly? You know, it's just what a fantastic wake up or time. And then when you wake up and say, oh, it was just a dream. So now we're in the millennial period from the perspective of now the final events are about to take place. And what I find interesting, brothers and sisters, that with all of the things that are going on, with Christ established, with the immortals visible, with angels interacting, that still there will come a time where the people will forget, the mortals will forget what it was like. Because there will be all these generations that will take place. And again, I'm actually sad for my children and their children's children, because when we first came in, or became Christadelphian, accepted Christ, and that awe, that inspiring, like, this is so fantastic. That, it was so real to us. And now our children are brought up in it. And they cannot relate to the feeling that we had coming from the outside, let's say, or from the darkness into the light. And this is a plight of many of us. And then I look at what will their children be like? Well, they now start to really take it for granted and just say, well, this is the way it's always been. And I think that is what's going to happen in the millennial period. We're going to have a generation after generation say, well, this utopia is always like this. It's kind of okay. And we're going to see that there's actually this rise at the end. Where did they come from? How did people actually rise up against Christ after seeing all these images and the way the world is? Why? And how can that be possible? Because it's the way we're built as mortals. Ever since the knowledge of good and evil, that ability to be able to look at things. And again, I think the concept of my bride, my beautiful wife, when I first met her, she still is beautiful, but I take that for granted. And I think that spiritual lesson is very important for us, not to lose sight of that bride. And I think this is what we take the eye off the prize and we look elsewhere. And I think in that period, this is what's happening. I think there are people that say, I believe I'm in Christ, but you know what? I may have done it under duress. I'm not really taking it seriously anymore. I'm kind of bored with this. And so what happens is we'll see. But that, brothers and sisters, I think is a wake up call for us. If we are in a state of complacency, fight against that. Don't allow it to happen, because that's what is our worst enemy. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God, so turn and live. And it goes right back to that earlier conversation that I shared with you that John Launchbury shared with me, is that if you don't want to be there, you're not going to be there. And so that, I think, is what's going to happen in the millennial period. Some people are actually going to have a mindset of saying, I don't like this anymore. I want change. And that is, again, a mortal characteristic. Not to say that immortals want change, but I'm sure it's going to be directed in a positive sense in terms of how do we make this better? How do we work with Christ to keep enhancing this? And in Revelation, and when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be loosed from its prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth. That is Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. This is the final conflict. Where are these people coming from? And how were they allowed to take on that mindset? If they're like the sand of the sea, there's that many people in the millennial period that are going to reject. And they marched up over the broad earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them. So we have this. This is my picture of Satan. Just not a happy guy. Mortal. Has the ability to go out and rally the troops. I think of David's son. He went out to the gate, right? He welcomed everybody coming in. He won them over. And he turned them against the king. And then at the end of the day, we all know what happens. But the issue is that was allowed to happen. I think that's a fascinating thought. And so we have this issue, and he has the ability to actually tap into the minds and the souls of the people. It's no different than what goes on now. It draws people away from Christ. That makes sense. You know, I like this. I like what you're saying here. And because we still have free will, the mortals, they will listen. And obviously they accept these things. And then for some reason, or somehow, they all rally and feel that they can actually take him out. This is cut for, and my point is that, are there no Bibles? What do you think we're teaching these people, saying, do you understand that there is an end to this? Right now, we're talking about that end. How can they not know that this is not going to work? because they believe they can do this. It's a stupid contest, if you think about it. They look at this and say, I think we can handle this guy. I think we can come up around him, and I think we can take it. I don't know how they can possibly believe this. But yet, that mentality is there. Or brothers and sisters, it is, I would rather die than still belong to this. And that goes back to that previous comment. If you do not want to be here, you will not be here. And there has to be some kind of way to finally get that executed. And then fire comes down and wipes them out. It is not a long haul. It is a quick battle. And so it's leading up there all, and then boom, it's done. I think this is where I love when Christ keeps saying about the parable of the kingdom. He allows this. Look at what happens in Matthew 13:24. Another parable he put before them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? Isn't that a picture? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, look, this is us. Then do you want us to go and gather them? And what is Christ's response? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. That is a duality, but parable I look at. We can experience this now because we can see it on a ecclesial basis, on a body basis, but this also has a millennial period feel to it for me, is that when you look at this, does he say, because I can imagine my first point about the immortals, We're seeing what's going on in the towns. We're seeing how the bands are dealing with each other and how upset they're starting to become and the mindset of them. And can you imagine us coming to Jesus and saying, what do you want us to do? I'll take care of this. He says, no. If they don't want to be here, I've got a time set. You know I've got a time set. Just wait. But the point is, he gathers them all together at the same time. Then the fire comes down and addresses it. So the second resurrection, Revelation 24:6. Then I saw thrones and seated on them. And again, there's different time periods here, brothers and sisters. The first resurrection, and then there's the second. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beasts or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or the hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ the 1,000 years. Then the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. That's their first resurrection. They're a part of the first resurrection, then they come and they have to be raised again in the second resurrection. There's a time frame for the people, the saints at the very first, and then it's everyone else after that. And during the millennial period, it'll be those that came into Christ during the millennial period. And I'm not going to hang my hat on this. This is the point, and I just want to emphasize that. The point of this week is just exploring this. Go back and study. Take a look at it. For me, it's to inspire and to take a look and say, I want to be a part of this. Or I don't want to be a part of this. But the idea is for us to strengthen one another, to look at this and say, God has a plan and he is going to execute this. And those who died, again, are the wicked who opposed God and Christ in their lives, and also those that came into the millennial period and took on Christ. And can you imagine, I just want to emphasize something here as well, and I touched on it earlier, but it looks like at the time that when people are coming into the millennial period, everybody's seeing this. They're excited. They're taking on Christ. And then it starts to wane. I did it out of fear. I did it because they were doing it. I did it because I want to be a part of this. And so you get this interaction. And it, brothers and sisters, it's no different. And that's my point about our children in some cases. I'm doing this because my dad and mom are Christadelphian or baptized into Christ. I'm doing it because my great-grandfather was a Christadelphian. This is the thing we do in our family. That's not what Christ wants. He wants you to be converted. That's what we've got to be looking for, is this conversion. He's not wanting people just to go through rote. And this is the thing to do, because this is what we all do. It's a different mindset. And so whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which we talked about, that lake of fire. And then what about those who have no knowledge of God or Jesus at this time? Because this is the question that we're all facing a lot of times when we're talking to people. Saying, well, what about the people in Africa that have never been exposed to Christ? What about people that were, I had an older brother, 6 months old, and died a crib death. And so what about him? You know, there's all these questions, right? And our minds will always go to, that's not the kind of God I want, if he's going to just not allow me any opportunity. And again, that's not the mindset. I want to show you, introduce you to the God that we're talking about, the God of the Bible. And that's why it's really important for us to have, what is the right God to present to the people? Is it a God of horror and hatred, it looks like in some cases, and just wants to kill everything? That's not the God we believe in. It may be the God in some cases that some of us believe in, but then there's that conversion that's required, that we've got to look at. Who is the God we believe in? Because he is a just God, but he's also a merciful, loving, faithful God and Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so the second resurrection and judgment, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who shares in the first resurrection. Oh, sorry, I'm going to go back to that. I should finish this. This is an interesting psalm that you should look at. And I was talking to Brother John Popel, and he shared that with me, and I thought that's really a good insight. Though while he lives, he counts himself happy, and though a man gets praise when he does well for himself, he will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never more see the light. Man cannot abide in his pomp. He is like the beasts that perish. And again, you had your time, and then you're dead. That's it. You didn't care about anything else? Well, then that's it. You come and you go. And I wanted to set that tone. That was an important one. I didn't finish that. And I think that's the kind of thing we have got to look at. If people didn't want a part of this, then that's it. But if they did, then there's exposure and bring it on. Like, I want to be a part of this millennial period, or the part of Christ. And so the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us right now. We are reigning. We are in it, and we have eternity before us. But the judgment takes place. Those that are not found in the book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Lake of fire mentioned 4 times in the Bible, only in Revelation, and these are the 4 places that it's mentioned. Revelation 19, verse 20, Revelation 20, 10, 14, and 15. And so you have this image that this judgment takes place, and you either welcome into the joy of your Father, or it's it. And you're cast. It's done. And again, we can have classes on all of what does all this mean and how this is. I just want to keep it simple for this purpose. You're either in or you're out. I want to be a part of this, or I'm not a part of this. And so this is now where we start taking stock, brothers and sisters, because we do not know when Christ is going to return. We're told he'll be a thief in the night. But in this time of period, think about that, the millennial period, these people actually had Christ in their midst, and they still did not take him on. That's a strong message. Far be it from me, this is Abraham talking to God about him marching into Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham is concerned, obviously. And he's saying, far be it from thee to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from thee. And brothers and sisters, this is the greatest comfort that I have. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Because we have so many questions. What will he do? How will he handle these things? And I am so thankful. It's like David saying, so do you want man to give you, mete out your justice, or do you want me to mete out the justice? And David says, I prefer you to mete out the justice. And that is the right thought pattern here. This is how we've got to trust. And it is a huge trusting verse. It's almost something you'd want a tattoo on. I see a number of tattoos with scriptural verses. This probably would be mine. And then, brothers, we have this beautiful image that a new Jerusalem coming down and being established on the earth. Think about this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. He who has sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. This is now a completely new environment, a new world that is starting to take off. Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And this is such an important verse. They are true. These things are going to take place. But what a beautiful image. You look at this and say, okay, all we now have is a vision for the 7,000 period. In this last 1,000 years we've been talking about this week. But what after that? What will we be doing? I still have more slides, but just quickly, just any quick thoughts. Because nobody will be wrong. Well, unless I say so. But thoughts? What will after this? New worlds. Any other? Cleanup. Yeah. I don't think I think it still needs it. But that is a thought that I've had as well, Carl. Like, will there be new worlds that we'll be involved in? God's plan, again, going out to other areas, he's too big to be just working with this. So you think about that. What will we be doing? So the times of joy and gladness, and these are verses that are uplifting for us, brothers and sisters, things that are explaining what it will be like and why we should be excited about it. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. What a message for people to hear now. Especially, we're blessed in North America, but yet, look at the problems that we're faced with. We're struggling with so many things. Now go outside of North America and look at what the world is like. You know, they need this message. Everybody needs this message. But we've got to believe in it, accept it, and then really live it in the sense of, I want to share it. Because to hold on to it, it's putting that light under the bushel. This is what these parables are. I know you know these things. But it's so important to take it in. How do I share this with others? And I know, we know people that would love to hear this message. And then I question myself, why am I not sharing this? Because I'm embarrassed. I'm fearful of what they might think of me. Forget that. Be bold. Step out. Jeremiah 31:12, they shall come and sing aloud in the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall languish in it no more. That abundance that we were talking about yesterday, that, just take that in. This will be the kind, right now where it's in many cases very difficult for us to understand this. But it will be beautiful. And I shared something. We walked with Karen Drawn yesterday morning, and she took us out to the point. And it was beautiful. And this is the vision I share with you. I was awestruck when I saw the the river below and the mountains, and it was gorgeous. And he said, you know, the interesting thing is I've always heard about Minooka, but now I can actually see it. And that is really, was for me, kind of the what we're at right now. We're reading these things, but we're going to see this. And the beauty is that everybody could tell you what it's going to be like, but we're really not going to fully understand until we experience it. But these are visions that God and Christ are trying to teach us through their scriptures and saying, listen, this is what is coming. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And for us, how many, and we've all experienced, my mother just died last November, my father 5 years ago. Interesting story there is that I just had left the COGAF gathering and went to New Canadian Bible School, and 40 minutes before my class, teaching there, I got the call that my dad had a severe heart attack, and I got home, and he died when I got there. That won't be experienced. How many of us experience death and the sadness that comes with that and the longevity that impact that has on us, and that we will not have to, that he'll be wiping away those tears, and then at the end to understand that there will be no death after this, no more. That is the promise. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their hearts. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You show people these verses, and they will speak to their hearts. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I am all things new. I make all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. He who conquers shall live or have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And we have that beautiful imagery of not only from the garden to Revelation, but also from the cross to the throne. That is, he saw the picture. He knew he was the Savior, and now he is our King. And that's up to us then to accept that and to take that on. And again, to believe that these things are coming upon the earth. And this vision here, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, or pain, for the former things have passed away. In 1 Corinthians 15, which we're very familiar with, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Right now, we all know why God cannot be on the earth at this point. Sin cannot survive in his presence. But there will be that period of time where that at the end of the millennial period, that we can actually be with God completely. And this all in all, that's a whole topic unto itself. What does that look like? What will that experience be? To actually experience all in all of God. So God's plan is in motion. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, a great God has made known to the king what shall be hereafter. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. The plan is in play. He is going to accomplish that plan. Our decision is, do we want to be a part of it? And if we are a part of it, what are we doing with it? Let's inspire one another, brothers and sisters. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.